WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the owners' meetings. It's opening day this week, at least on the road. We'll be coming back in. We'll have some plans for everybody at WNST at Baltimore Positive, but our big plan is next Wednesday. We're going to be at Costas Inn, which is, I'm wearing the new Costas. They got it in white for me. I feel so pure in the white Costas in Dundalk. We're going to be giving away the 50th anniversary lottery tickets, the instant scratch-offs. It's the 50th anniversary, and Costas was an original seller of lottery tickets back in 1973. It says 71, but the lottery started in 73. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, into a new month soon. So take advantage of that 0% financing. Buy two, get two free all month long, 866-90-NATION. Well, the Lamar-a-thon continues. By the way, I've coined it now, Luke Jones. It is a Lamar-a-thon. You like that?
Yeah, you just need to get the entire gym as an official sponsor of the Lamarathon. How do you like that?
Well, I mean, if you would have told me opening day would be up and, you know, Final Four would be up, not just the teams that are in the Final Four, but that we would be to this week and we would still be sitting here like twiddling our thumbs, you know, watching the internet, seeing Lamar do gym commercials, seeing the National Football League issue statements that say we can't talk to this other guy. Who is this guy? This is really quite the manure show, much more so. We always wonder when Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and these dramas come to your hometown. Well, here it is. It's here, and it's ours, and it's Eric DaCosta's, and it's Bisciotti's hiding from everybody at the owners' meetings. I mean, it's an embarrassing time for all of them because of the uncertainty.
Yeah, it's completely hijacked their offseason. I mean, let's face it. The Ravens just now, over the last few days, made their first outside addition to their football team for 2023. And it's Nelson Aguilar. That's not fixing your wide receiver position. And I'm not suggesting that the Ravens believe that that's all the work they have to do there either. Although if there's one position I am leery of giving them the benefit of the doubt, it's wide receiver. But
you do want to see them try.
If Nelson Aguilar's trying, then great. Sure, why not? And again, I digress on him specifically. But when that's the only outside addition you've made and we're now 2 weeks into the start of the new league year, it's clear that Lamar Jackson, you know, this situation, whoever you want to blame, whoever you want to look at, it's holding up their offseason and it's hindering their ability to get better for 2023, whether Lamar Jackson is on the roster or not, ultimately. So it just leaves you in this holding pattern. And that's where the Ravens find themselves right now. And I think it's incredibly frustrating for everyone involved. And, you know, you mentioned the entire gym, the mobile suitcase free weight gym invention that Lamar Jackson posted the video of at what, less than an hour after word had leaked about the NFL's memo about teams not talking to Ken Francis. And I just look at it and it's just bizarre. I mean, this whole thing is just so bizarre at this point in time. However you want to explain it, collusion or not, Lamar's injury history, you know, go down the list of all the different things we've talked about. And we don't need to keep rehashing it. Everyone knows at this point. And quite frankly, everyone has an opinion at this point that's probably not going to be swayed by you or me. But when you just look at this thing, and the thing that really struck me when you see Lamar Jackson post this video, we can debate about what his value is, what he feels his value is compared to what the Ravens or what any other team thinks it is. If Lamar had an agent, if he's seeking a fully guaranteed deal, there's no guarantee that he'd have it right now, right? The one thing I look at, however, and we've talked about this in passing, but it really struck me big time when he released that video. With all due respect to any player who tries to promote a product, that entire gym, that's something you expect to see a former player promoting to make a few bucks. You know, they don't have the football checks coming in, and it'd be totally fine, right? I mean, if Jared Johnson was promoting something like that, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Double J's hasn't played in a number of years. But it just strikes me. You're talking about a guy who's only a few years removed from being unanimous NFL MVP, a guy that you go out to training camp and you hear kids literally shrieking over him. The idea that Lamar Jackson has not had his choice or his pick of, name it, Nike, Gatorade, whatever, you know, whatever big brand you want to throw out there. And he hasn't had those endorsements. He hasn't had those. How? Literally. And look, we can talk about.
There's been nobody to call. No one for Coke or Pepsi or Bud. Listen, the National Football League doesn't want to do business with this kid right now because he's not professionally represented. Like, literally, that's a fact. So why would Under Armour want to do business with him? Who would Under Armour? Who would Kevin Plank's people call?
I mean, but my point is, that's a darn shame because
it is.
Regardless of where this ultimately goes with Lamar and his contract and wherever he's going to be playing, whether it's in Baltimore on the tag for another year, whether a trade gets worked out, whether he sits out the season, I don't know. You know, maybe we might be talking about this a year from now, as I've said to you over and over, and I don't know how this is going to shake out. But the one thing that we should all be able to agree on is it's a shame, and it's a shame for Lamar. I'm not saying this to bash him. It's a shame that he hasn't cashed in to a far, far more lucrative degree on his name and what he's accomplished to this point in his career already. And people will say, well, you know, he's not the most eloquent with the media or whatever. Forget about that. You see the appeal that he has had with kids out at training camp. Again, Nestor, I've told you over and over. It's like a rock star. It's like the Beatles, the way kids just shriek over that. The fact that he hasn't cashed in on that to a much more meaningful degree to this point, regardless of a long-term contract, whatever that number ultimately is, that's an utter failure. That's an abject failure that hasn't happened for him. And that's where anyone who's close to him and advising him that has not, you know, not spoken up, or, and maybe people have, maybe there have been people in his inner circle who've spoken up, and Lamar or others in his inner circle just kind of brushed it off. But, you know, you just look at that and say, like, what is that? I mean, again, that entire gym promotional video, I joked with it. That's something that Masson would air in lieu of an Orioles spring training game, quite frankly. I mean, that's what that looked like.
In the middle of guys with low covered hats and glasses dealing cards.
Exactly.
That would be the
exactly.
ad that would run. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, how much is that relevant to Lamar and the Ravens and football? You know, it in the big picture, it's not all that terribly relevant, but it is a glimpse to the inner workings of how he and his brand have done their business. And that's where you're embarrassed for him and you're sad for him, quite frankly. I mean, he's literally left millions on the table in that regard. Forget about the contract. And look, at the end of the day, it's Lamar Jackson's life. And my life's, you know, I'm not going to profit one way or the other. My life's not going to change dramatically one way or the other. So I don't have a fight in the dog.
He's already got $30 million, and he's online to make double his career earnings this year just by making the $32 million. He's not starving.
Sure.
That's the point. The point is he's not starving. But if all of this is about money, then go get yours.
Exactly.
Get yours professionally, like every other guy before you did. It is sad. I mean, I look at it and I look from afar. And I wince. I wince for the kid. And I wince for the organization. And you, by the way, Luke Jones is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. Neither one of us are at the owner's meetings because the owner decided to not go to the owner's meeting and show up. But Dan Snyder might be there for all we know. We'll be monitoring that with a little Rofo coffee in our Cole Roofing mug here. You used the word hijack. Boy, that's a great one, dude. I mean, it's only almost April 1st here. It's opening day, right? Like, it is hijacked. They're off season because of the salary cap situation, because of their inability to do anything. I don't know that there really is a trade partner, because the trade partner would say, we got to make love with Lamar and we got to get him contractually happy. And you people couldn't do that. And who are we talking to anyway? Him, his mother? Like, we just got a memo that we can't talk to anybody else. So Lamar now has to pick up the phone and get on the phone with general managers or owners personally and figure this out. And, oh, by the way, none of them have any money, and fewer of them have a true interest in doing business with him, not having him be their quarterback on opening day, having him be there 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, collecting $50 million a year guaranteed. And when they want cap relief, they can't get it because he clearly doesn't even understand what's happening here. I mean, I don't think he has a full scope of what has happened here. And I think we talked about that in a vacuum all off season last year into OTAs, into the coach texting me and pissed off that he's not there. Like all of that that happened last year, and Dennis and I saying, well, at some point, he'll probably get represented, right? Like at some point, he'll find the right Drew Rosenhaus, the right Lee Steinberg, the right Jay-Z, somebody. He'll listen to somebody. He'll listen to Dion. He'll listen to Ray Lewis. He'll listen to shit. Somebody will pull him up that he will respect and say, dude, call my guy. You know, call my guy. And that hasn't happened. He doesn't trust anyone, man. But he does trust the entire gym guy, which to your point is even worse. Because it's not that he's unrepresented. He's dealing with snake oil salesmen. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Who else would put him up to do that video?
Yeah, I mean, and look, again, trying to get inside anyone's head is challenging. I mean, Lamar, we've said it over and over. He's got a very small inner circle, and not many people are well-connected enough to know what truly makes him tick. And, you know, as I said before, I don't have a dog in the fight here. Lamar can do what he wants at the end of the day, but when you look at it, just looking at it from afar, and now how it is having such a profound impact on the football team, you know, it really does put the Ravens in a very, very difficult spot here because of what you just said. And look, I've said over and over, I think the Ravens have done a good job, or as well as they possibly could expect to do to this point in time, of trying to separate their feelings about Lamar, the football player, Lamar, the human being, compared to Lamar, the agent, Lamar, the businessman. And DaCosta alluded to this even at the season ending press conference where, you know, he kind of made that point, but then never really shared how he felt about Lamar, the agent, which I thought was telling in what he didn't say at that point in time. But, you know, you just look at this and you keep asking yourself, what's the resolution here? You know, what's the long-term solution here? How is this going to play out? And to your point, when you're talking about, I don't know Ken Francis from Steve Francis, you know, let's be clear about that. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy from Florida. He's got a company that's a mobile fitness product. I mean, anyone will tell you that are connected to player investments and things of that nature, some of the worst things you can invest in are restaurants and, you know, from a player perspective, you know, and we've seen this play out with a number of players locally, you know, when they talk about restaurants and fitness equipment, you know, and again, that's not, that's not pointing a finger at any specific entity. It just, you know, there's risk involved for players compared to, you know, doing the kind of things that Lamar could have done easily 3 years ago. You know, you can't tell me that
Subway didn't want him.
His pick. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So you just look at that. And again, I don't want to make fun of, you know, I mean, I'm not someone who's creating
Baker
things
Mayfield
and inventing things.
But RG3 got big time commercials.
Yeah.
And didn't do anything. I mean,
right.
Justin Herbert's all over commercials right now. Right. Like I don't know anything about that kid other than he's great because we never get to watch the Chargers play like in that way. But
right.
That kid's on commercials everywhere.
Right. And what's odd
Has
about
this.
Has
he won a playoff game, Justin Herbert?
No.
He hasn't won a playoff game. I'm just saying.
Trevor, right.
If we're going to give
Trevor
it,
Lawrence and the Jags, right.
If we're
going
to give it to somebody, let's give it to him, right. Trevor Lawrence
sure.
has commercials, right. But
so that's where you would come back to that. And a couple years ago when Gatorade wasn't calling, you know, he wasn't doing Gatorade commercials or whatever. And I'm just using examples. I don't want to give too much free publicity to entities that don't need it to begin
Costas with.
Well,
Costas could use it. Maybe, I mean, they, you know, Costas has Kelly and Hoda and Pappas has Oprah. Somebody should get Lamar to sell crab cakes. Okay. You
right,
know,
right. So a couple years ago, what was the rationale that outsiders tried to give? Okay. Well, maybe he's not all that terribly motivated by the money. And Steve Bisciotti said as much about a year ago, right? Which obviously was very foolish to say because, of course, he does because we've seen how it's played out since then. But the juxtaposition of that compared to wanting a fully guaranteed deal is just kind of wild, isn't it? Right? I mean, like,
well,
when you really think about that.
Well, his negotiating tact of I'm going to hold out of OTAs. I don't have an agent. I'm going to hold out. Everybody's going to want me. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to play. I'm going to play well. I'm going to win a Super Bowl. And then you're all going to want me. And none of this happened, right? None of the dream scenario that any agent would have said, all right, Lamar, you don't want to sign now. Like what Joe Flacco's agent, Joe, give me his last
Linta.
Name, Linta. You know, I'm sure Joe Linton was saying to Flacco, like, hey, dude, you're turning down 90 million trying to get to 120. Like, what are you doing? Take the 90 million, take care of your family. Kiko Alonso may send you into, you know, into a nursing home anytime. Like, take the money. I'm sure Joe Linton and Joe Flacco had some serious arguments about that. And I could see Joe saying, well, as long as I'm here, somebody, I mean, the Vikings, somebody will want me, you know. There's always somebody that wants me. Well, Lamar probably had the same people saying, they're not just going to want you, they're going to want you. Did you see how bad they wanted Deshaun Watson last year? So all of that in his mind was this amateur, where am I going to sit? How would I look in a Dolphins jersey? What would my tax situation be like in a Buccaneers jersey? And boy, I could go play in Tennessee and, you know, we'd have a running back there, and except the coach doesn't want you and the owner doesn't want you and nobody wants to pay you and nobody wants to guarantee the money and nobody wants to deal with your agent. And, but I think to some degree, and if I were at the owners meetings today doing my job, like I'm supposed to be doing, I would be going around the room over drinks, talking to people. Just off the – this is what I've done for 31 years. Mike Tomlin, what do you really think of Lamar? As second drink, tackling him, stopping him, where do you think he'll be three? Would you really want him to be your core? Like these are easy things when you have relationships in the league to talk to other people. And when you work around the pool and every person around the pool says, dude didn't get on the plane for the playoff game. He didn't wave a towel. What kind of teammate is he? Like, the first thing, if he's in my office and I own the team, Lamar, you weren't in Cincinnati. Why weren't you there? And I'm sure he'd say, they didn't want me there. They told me not to. Like, I'm sure it's because it's easy to do that, right? It's easy to say, I wasn't there because they didn't want me to be a distraction. They told me to stay home. And I was hurt. And my doctor told me to stay. Like, I don't know what it would be. But my first question, and I'll go on and on, it isn't about him running into linebackers, the money, the gear, all that's a problem. All that's a problem. But the real problem for me is, dude, you're on their team. You're their highest paid player. You're their highest pro. You're the leader. You didn't have a little tablet with a beanie cap on in Cincinnati trying to help Snoop win a game? Like, what? That to me, if I were out at the owners' meetings, that would be the thing I would sniff. I'd be sniffing why he wasn't there, how he wasn't there, and what that means. Because I think that that means a lot to owners. I think when owners see that, when the general manager and the coach come in and say, whoa, 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 Eric and John are reasonable guys. They're trying to win. Calais Campbell was, all these leadership pieces that they put around him. How did somebody not at least let him know that that wouldn't be a good look going into free agency, that you weren't there with your football team?
Yeah,
you don't think it's a big deal, right?
I don't want to say it's nothing, but that's way lower on the list for me than all the other things you spell out. I mean, for me, I think it just comes back to it's everything. It's everything. It's all encompassing. It's all of those variables together that make this much more complicated. And it's not a case of the 31 other teams don't want Lamar Jackson. I don't believe that. If Lamar Jackson were an unrestricted free agent today, and there wasn't this thought, if it's, not just common knowledge at this point that he either wants the Deshaun Watson deal or he at least wants that much fully guaranteed into a 7-year deal or whatever it is.
How about just giving him more money than the Ravens are willing to give him? I mean, that's all you have to do at this point, and give away next year's one. Like, if you really believe he's your savior, if he's your messiah, giving up the 2-1s shouldn't be that big of a deal. It really, if you want him to, if your quarterback is Taylor Heineke, you know what I mean? If that's who your guy is and you really believe in him, I just haven't seen anybody really believe in him. And I didn't see anybody believe in him 5 years ago when it was draft time that said, we're going to turn the team over to him and we're going to assume this high risk quarterback at any price, at any price. So the fact that there's no bidding on him is just, it's insane. It's incredible.
You just made a point that I've alluded to a little bit, but it's anchoring bias. You go back to what kind of what your original opinion is. And look, that's 5 years old at this point. That's ancient history. And it should be from an evaluation standpoint. This kid's absolutely proved so many of his doubters wrong. From Bill Polian suggesting he work out at wide receiver, absurd stuff, right? I mean, not talking about constructive criticism, but the most absurd criticism that you heard 5 years ago Which, by the way, and people way smarter than me when it comes to things like this, people have said that if he had an agent then, probably would have done a better job combating those narratives because he didn't have anyone that was advocating for him.
He wouldn't have been there 32nd for the Ravens to
Look,
take.
I mean,
Because he
it's
was a
dirt.
better talent than that, obviously,
And let's
right?
be right. No, quite. No, of course. But it really does reflect how dirty the business is in general, and where an agent can become really handy there because they're not, they're willing to get their hands dirty, so to speak, with some of this. So I think that's part of it. But I think it's all the. I don't think it's just one thing. I think it's all of these things combined. But I think so much of it just comes back to, if it were as simple as just giving Lamar a dollar more than the Ravens have offered, I think some teams absolutely would do that. But there's also the factor of, oh yeah, if it's a dollar more or if it's a few million more, as long as it's not the full lucrative, fully guaranteed deal that Lamar seeks that the Ravens are unwilling to give him at this point, I think there's very much a sense of, for another team, why am I going to do a deal with Lamar Jackson that the Ravens will just match? I mean, if they're willing to give him X and we offer X plus one, they'll probably match that. But if we're willing to give what Lamar wants, which is Y, then that's a different story. But oh, wait, we're not as comfortable with that because of all the different factors that have been laid out. So, he's not free. He's not a true free agent. So that's complicated all this. And then when you have the fact that he doesn't have an agent and you're having a guy named Ken Francis calling teams on his behalf. And, I mean, Lamar can argue about the semantics of it, whether he was negotiating or not. I mean, it's semantics, and but it's how it is. And I will throw out there that this happened last summer, I guess it was, with Saint Omni, who was representing Roquan Smith, when he was, trying to get away from the Bears at the time. So it's not unprecedented, but it's just another variable to throw into the mix of just looking at this thing and you just shake your head. I mean, a year ago, certainly 2 years ago, no one could have possibly fathomed that the Ravens would be in this position with Lamar Jackson. And look, it's not to say that they've been perfect through it. Could they have shown more urgency? Should they have shown more urgency a couple years ago in trying to get this done? Hypothetically, or theoretically, maybe, did they lowball him a little bit in the way that you never give a player, you never give an agent your best offer first? And did that turn Lamar off? I don't know. I mean, again, it's conjecture, right? Because we've known so little about this. But just the idea that we're where we are at this point, and the Ravens are 2 weeks into the offseason and they've signed Nelson Aguilar. And oh yeah, they've lost players in the process too. This is a worse football team than it was at the end of the season. And look, the Ravens are rarely massive players in free agency, so I'm not trying to make too much of that. At the same time, they don't sit it out entirely in the way that they essentially have to this point. I mean, Nelson Aguilar is not an answer. If he can be your number three or number four wide receiver, then great. But if he's lining up opposite Rashad Bateman, then something's gone terribly wrong. So, it's just, and even with that, they signed him to a 1 year deal. Go look at the structure, voidable years. They're trying to maintain as much cap flexibility as they can. And I mean, the Ravens are doing that to give themselves protection because they don't want to be in a position where a team offers Lamar a deal that they would be willing to match, but it would have some problems structure-wise from a cap standpoint.
Everyone thought
But
that would be the key, that would be the steal, right? The steal would be create a structure that the Ravens can't and won't match. I'm not convinced the Ravens want the kid around long term. I'm not convinced that they don't want, they're done with this drama. Like they don't need more of this. They don't need him winning a Super Bowl and then holding out. Like I don't, and I don't think they really, I don't know that they believe he's going to win a Super Bowl for them. I don't,
well.
I, that would be the question now. Do we really think this kid's heart and soul is in this building, is a part of this organization, that we're going to be able to mend whatever fences are broken? And only they know, dude, there's
Right.
no question fences have been broken here, right?
Of
Like that
course.
there is a problem here. There is a relationship problem between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. There might be a relationship problem between Lamar Jackson and a lot of people given trust, right? Like, we've talked a lot about this, but I'm wondering out loud if the Ravens really would just say, God bless Jim Irsay. Let him give him 160 mil, whatever you got to give him. We'll take the picks. We just are going to do something different. We just are tired of the uncertainty, the rock star thing at the facility. He hasn't played at the end of the last couple of years. It's just, you know, he's the pretty girl you just can't marry. Like, I don't know what else, I don't know how else to equate it to my audience other than to say, how could we let him go? I just think as they gather here, they don't need five more years of this as an organization. And it's divided the fan base in an awful way because it's racial. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Amongst other things, that you're either a Lamar fan or you're a Raven fan or you hate John or you hate Eric or you hate the man or you hate the league or you want the kid to get his or you hate agents. I mean, you can have a lot of opinions on all this, but I am really wondering how excited the Ravens would be to offer to give him $148 million guaranteed and have him accepted, have a press conference for some of the media like you and not like me. But if I that's an amazing thing for me. If he's out there throwing football 6 weeks from now in an OTA situation, happy, content, validated, feeling like he's the man, his ego, the statue in Louisville, that's, I get the feeling that he's lived a life of you to man, and he needs to be the man. And being the man means you're getting paid like the man. And unless he gets paid like the man, he's not going to feel like the man. And he's got to be back here, kids, autographs, all that in August, making $32 million, worst case. Like, I don't know how that could possibly be tenable, dude. Yeah. This notion that he's going to come back and play for $32 million, I don't know how the organization could be comfortable with that.
Yeah. I mean, it just, everything you just lay out is fair. I mean, every question you just pose is fair, but even if you are ready to move on, you still want to try to maximize this asset that you have to the greatest degree that you can. Now, that might not be what you thought it might have been at the start of the offseason or a month ago, but you also don't want to just, you know, you don't want to give it away either. I mean, I've seen some people say, oh, they should just move on. You know, I mean, no, they shouldn't just move on. Like, you know, the idea that you would just rescind the franchise tag would be insane because then you're getting nothing. But at the same time, what is realistic? And if you are in a position where you are looking at no offer sheet coming in, and I've heard some people talk about after the draft, I just think it's very difficult if you look at it from a cap standpoint.
Yeah, how would Miami pull that off?
I mean, you look at it, they don't have the cap space anymore for it. I mean, yeah, could they restructure a boatload of deals? Could they cut a bunch of guys after the draft and do that? Theoretically, sure. But I don't think that's realistic. I just don't. And I mean, how would that even work?
A lot of the things we thought in November have turned out to be not realistic, right? Whatever our thoughts were, he's going to go here, he's going to go there, they're all going to want him. That's not reality. That's Twitter world. Lamar, you to man. They are, Lamar can't get along with his own team. Lamar doesn't have an agent. Lamar hasn't played football in December in 3 years. Lamar's won one playoff game. Lamar's going to get slower. Lamar doesn't throw the ball that great. He's fine. He's top 10 quarterback or whatever, but he's not the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. And we have to change our whole team around for him. And we have to make $50 million of cap room for him. And we have to turn the whole organization. Like, that's, I don't know, back in October, November, we didn't talk like that. Like the reality of what this was going to be when these 31 million, well, 30, because Snyder probably won't show up either, but out in Arizona, these owners are all going to be together. And that's the guy you have to appeal to when you want $200 million of unprecedented guaranteed money that pisses everybody else in the room off. That's how you have to win that person over. You're not winning Eric DaCosta or Nestor or John Harbaugh. You have to win over the owner.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, what the difference is back in September and October, he had only had one season where he didn't finish because now it's two. So again, if it were only one or two of those variables you just laid out, there absolutely would be teams going after him. But it's all of those things together where you just look at this and say, I don't know. I mean, again, this isn't the same as him just being an unrestricted free agent and he goes and signs the best deal, the best offer, and that's that. And the Ravens get their third round comp pick, and that's not this. You know, it might, you know, if he wants to try to go the franchise tag route and go the Kirk Cousins route, could it come to that 2 years from now? I mean, my goodness, I hope we're not talking about this 2 years from now. And to your point, I do think the Ravens, at some point in time, and I don't think it's right now, but they're going to want a resolution for this. I agree with you. I don't think playing on the tag is certainly not ideal. I don't know if it's tenable or realistic whatsoever in terms of him being happy, him showing up, him playing, and all that. But I think, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, and I'll leave you with this, I said to Ravens fans at the time, get comfortable with being uncomfortable about this, because I'm just not sure the resolution is coming next week or at the draft. I mean, this might be something that drags out all summer, and you know, it might still come to it that if there is not another reasonable resolution for this, that he is on the tag and they're trying to figure that out for one more year. It's not ideal, but none of this is ideal. So why would I suddenly start imagining of an ideal scenario? Because, well, it's been 2 years plus of this, and unfortunately, it still feels like there's no end in sight until maybe either a mystery team or Lamar Jackson realizes a mystery team is not coming and then is willing to talk to the Ravens on more reasonable terms, at least their terms that they've offered him.
Hijack the organization. Now, you did you come up with that on your own, or did you just use that one? That's
I've heard people say that. I mean, they haven't done anything. I mean, they've signed a number four wide receiver. I mean, that's what they've done. And they had to use voidable years just to do a 1 year deal. I mean, that just speaks to where they are. You know, Chuck Clark's gone. Calais Campbell's gone. Other free agents could or could not be, you know, may or may not be gone. I mean, it's just hurry up and wait. That's what it's been, right? New league year already. And well, nothing. And the Lamar situation, whether, you know, whoever's fault it is, that's holding everything up. You know,
I've been having a good time here talking to people about it, because like everybody around the, it's the biggest story in the sport, right? So Peter King had an opinion last week. I had JT the Brick on from Las Vegas, and he thinks Lamar's going to wind up in Miami. I had I had Bob Kravitz on from Indianapolis, who's very, very close to the Colts situation. He thinks Jim Irsay's crazy enough to do it. Like just that it will just one day it'll just happen. Like, I don't know how you sneak Lamar around. I don't know where the planes go. I know all planes this week are out in Arizona, at the Biltmore in Phoenix, Arizona. We are not there because the National Football League has rescinded my credential and blackballed me. But it's the first time in 18 years during normal circumstances that I haven't been in an NFL owners meeting. We can only hope that there's some news out of Raul John and Largo before the weekend is over as well. We'll be monitoring that. It still is the state of Maryland. I tried to convince the National Football League people of that. You can find Luke at Baltimore Luke anywhere the good internet is traveling and social media. And you can find me all week long right here at AM 1570 at WNST. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation next week. We're going to be at Costas on Wednesday in the afternoon. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday to open the new CFG Bank Arena. And obviously on Thursday, Luke is going to be at Camden Yards. I will continue to be locked out for the 18th year by the Baltimore Orioles. I will be drinking beer somewhere on the streets as long as weather permits on the morning of the 6th of April. Opening day is this week. I'm working with our friends at Hollywood Casino and the Barstool Sports Restaurant, and maybe go up there and watch a little Red Sox and Orioles. I hear the Red Sox stink this year, so I want to get a little piece of that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.